During our Wednesday devotional series that we'll be running, and forever, for however long we'll be running them, I think it would be good for us to set our eyes on God. So we are going to be doing a series on God Himself. Right now, in the midst of so much fear, so much change, so much uncertainty, we need to think about and talk about the one who never changes, whose love for us casts out all fear, and the one who is called faithful and true. More than we need to know about what we should be doing right now, we need to know about the one that we can depend upon, and the one whose love for us is never failing. More than we need to know about the latest change that the news would announce to us, we need to know about the one who never changes and is with us right now. And so we're going to talk about God Himself. We're going to talk about who He is, what He is like, what is true about Him, His attributes. If this series in any way helps you to draw closer to God, then I will be very happy to hear that. Because I sincerely believe that what we need right now, most of all, is God. I know for myself I need God right now. So I'm looking forward to this for my own personal reasons. I'm looking forward to my own studies. I enjoyed reading the verses and the books that accompanied setting up this devotional. It was good for my heart, spoke to me. And I know it will minister to my soul, and I know it will minister to your soul as well. Today we're going to be talking about two things that are true about God. God is love, and God is sovereign. God is love, and God is sovereign. Starting with these two truths about God, because they are two truths that can deeply encourage us in the moment that we find ourselves in today, but they also are two things that are true about God that during times like these we can find ourselves questioning how both can be true and how both can work together. The truth that God is love and the truth that God is sovereign, at times, by believers and unbelievers, there have been questions and doubts about them, perceived inconsistencies or incompatibilities between the truth. The perceived contradiction is often phrased in words like these: how can God be both loving and sovereign with all that is going on in the world right now? He either loves us, but is unable to do what is necessary to show us that love and to change things to love us properly, and so he's not sovereign. Or he is sovereign, but he doesn't really love us because he allows these hardships to continue. That is an age-old criticism that people have brought against the faith, and that's how it's often articulated, is with words like these. You know, it's unfortunate that we get hung up on God's love and God's sovereignty, and that we don't see them as both equally beautiful and equally compatible, because truly, when both are believed and cherished in the heart of the believer, there's nothing more encouraging to us than to know that God is love and that God is sovereign. God is love, so we know that He does what is best for us. We can come into His arms, shaking in our fear, crying in our pain, and we can be hugged, and we can be comforted, and we can be loved and cherished. We need that. We need to know that God is love, and that we can run to Him for that love, and He will give it to us always unconditionally. He is love, and He will give us that love. And God is sovereign. He is able to do what is best for us. He is able to arrange and change and shape events in our lives to ultimately work out what will be for our best for eternity. We need to know that God is king, that God is sovereign, that God oversees all. We need to know and believe that God really is in control, and thus he is not just loving us, but able to protect and love us as we need to be. We need to know that God and only God is king of the universe, and all things will work together for good to fulfill his good and loving plan toward us. So let's talk about these two things. Let's talk about the facts that God is love and that God is sovereign. Let's first talk about God is love, the love of God. As we go through this series, we'll look at verses from the Bible on the truth about God. And I'm also going to be using a book I referenced a few weeks ago called The Knowledge of the Holy by A.W. Tozier. It might have been the last message I was able to preach in person before we began all of this social distancing policies. I mentioned that apart from the Bible, there were two books that I would recommend to every believer to read. And one was A Gospel Primer for Christians, and then the other is The Knowledge of the Holy by A.W. Tozier. And we are going to be taking some selected readings on the attributes of God as we go through this devotional series. So, there are so many verses that could be selected to share with us today on the love of God. Old Testament, New Testament, poetic literature, wherever, the Bible is filled with the love of God. But we're not going to try to cover all of them. I've just selected two big verses on the topic to share with us to begin our thoughts off of. First, John 3:16, which says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." I like 17 as well. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." In this way, the love of God is expressed. This is the kind of love that God has for the world. In this way, so loved God, the world, that he gave his only Son. His love for us is such that even his only beloved Son he was willing to give up so that through belief in him, we could have eternal life and never, ever perish. 1 John 4, verse 8, has this to say about God's love. It says, "Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." 1 John 4, verse 8. God is love. Love is an essential characteristic of God. And love in its strongest, purest reality and expression is found in God himself. A.W. Tozier has this to say on the subject of God's love. "Love wills the good of all and never wills harm or evil to any. This explains the words of the Apostle Paul, 'There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear.' Fear is the painful emotion that arises at the thought that we may be harmed or made to suffer. This fear persists while we are subject to the will of someone who does not desire our well-being. But the moment we come under the protection of one of goodwill, fear is cast out. A child lost in a crowded store is full of fear because it sees the strangers around as enemies. But in its mother's arms, a moment later, all the terror subsides. The known good will of the mother casts out fear. The world is full of enemies, and as long as we are subject to the possibility of harm from these enemies, fear is inevitable. The effort to conquer fear without removing the causes is altogether futile. The heart is wiser than the apostles of tranquility. As long as we are in the hands of chance, as long as we look for hope to the law of averages, as long as we must trust for survival to our ability to outthink or outmaneuver the enemy, we have every good reason to be afraid, and fear hath torment. To know that love is of God and to enter into the secret place, leaning upon the arm of the beloved, this and only this can cast out fear. Let a man become convinced that nothing can harm him, and instantly for him all fear goes out of the universe. The nervous reflex, the natural revulsion to physical pain, may be felt sometimes, but the deep torment of fear is gone forever. God is love, and God is sovereign. His love disposes him to desire our everlasting welfare, and his sovereignty enables him to secure it. Nothing can hurt a good man. See why this is one of my favorite books? What medicine for the soul to know that God's love for us is able to cast out fear. That if we run to God like a child to their mother, we find in the arms of God the comfort and rest of perfect love, which casts out fear. Isn't that so true? When we know that we are with someone who loves us, we don't have reason to fear. We know that they desire and will work toward our goodwill. When we know that we're with somebody who does not love us, who wants ill toward us, it's difficult, very difficult not to fear. We don't know what they mean toward us, what they might do toward us. Because God is love and God is perfect love, then being with him can cast out all fear. Now, the thing about love from others is that they lack sovereignty. You know, a romantic song has been written along the lines of, I love you deeply. I wish that I could do this, 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 and this other thing for you, but I can't. I love you, I wish I could give you an island. I love you, I wish I could give you tons and tons of money. I wish that I could give you perfect health, but I can't because I lack the power to. The song, The Little Drummer Boy, is about a boy who wants to love and worship his king, but he lacks the ability to give much at all beyond the talent of his excellent drumming. God can back up his love with the power of being the sovereign king over the universe. And he has promised us that he will work out all things eventually to our glorification, to our being with him forever in heaven with never a problem or a harm or a hurt to face again. His sovereignty has enabled him to do this for us. God loves us, and in his sovereignty, he can do absolutely what is best for us. So let's talk now about that other truth of God, which enables us to rest in God's protective love, because we know that he has the power to secure what we need. Let's talk about God's sovereignty. Again, a subject that we could turn virtually anywhere to in the Bible to demonstrate. It's shown even when the word sovereign isn't used. God's sovereignty was shown when Joseph had His brothers mistreat him and send him away, selling him to Egypt. But God took those things which man meant for evil, and he worked them according to his plan, so that Joseph became second-hand man to the Pharaoh, and the people of Israel were able to come down to the land and live and be saved from a famine. We see God's sovereignty working through Pharaoh. When God hardened Pharaoh's heart to do according to God's will. And we see many other places. Two of the most powerful statements on God's sovereignty come from Ephesians and Colossians. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 says this about God's sovereignty. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. That inheritance is our eternal salvation. Through God, we have been given it. We have been granted it. And it comes from the one who all things, everything, is worked together according to the counsel of his will. So we know that this loving inheritance is absolutely sure. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 17, say this about God's sovereignty. Actually, it's speaking about God the Son, who is the image of the invisible God, and demonstrates how he is over everything. Colossians 1, verse 15 states, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. 16, for by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. 17. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Everything was created by and for God and God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They were created through God, and he is before all things, and all things are held together by him. Nothing exists or continues to exist or is allowed to exist but by his will. Tozer has this to say about God's sovereignty. An illustration. An ocean liner leaves New York bound for Liverpool. Its destination has been determined by proper authorities. Nothing can change it. This is at least a faint picture of sovereignty. On board the liner are several scores of passengers. These are not in chains. Neither are their activities determined for them by decree. They are completely free to move about as they will. They eat, sleep, play, lounge about on the deck, read, talk, altogether as they please. But all the while, the great liner is carrying them steadily onward toward a predetermined port. Both freedom and sovereignty are present here, and they do not contradict each other. So it is, I believe, with man's freedom and the sovereignty of God. The mighty liner of God's sovereignty, of God's sovereign design, keeps its steady course over the sea of history. God moves undisturbed and unhindered toward the fulfillment of those eternal purposes which he purposed in Christ Jesus before the world began. We do not know all that is included in those purposes, but enough has been disclosed to furnish us with a broad outline of things to come and to give us good hope and firm assurance of future well-being. We know that God will fulfill every promise made to the prophets. We know that sinners will someday be cleansed out of the earth. We know that a ransomed company will enter into the joy of God, and that the righteous will shine forth in the kingdom of their Father. We know that God's perfections will yet receive universal acclamation, that all created intelligences will own Jesus Christ Lord to the glory of God the Father, that the present imperfect order will be done away, and a new heaven and a new earth will be established forever. Toward all this, God is moving with infinite wisdom and perfect precision of action. No one can dissuade him from his purposes. God is sovereign, and in his sovereignty, he has chosen not to make us all robots. He has chosen to give us free will. God's sovereignty is so amazing that he can continue to work all things according to the counsel of his will, to determine the path of all that will be, to work it all for the good of those who love him, and he's able to do it through complete free will amongst his creatures. He didn't need to set up a computer program that would run according to precisely his direction with no mind or no choice in the matter whatsoever. Instead, he created many creatures with free will, knowing perfectly well that ultimately it will all work out according to his plans, even when people freely choose to disobey him. But because mankind is free to disobey God, that means that in this life we will face problems. And that is why that question comes up. Is God both loving and is God both sovereign? Yes, he is. He is both. In his sovereignty, though, he has allowed free will for man. And sometimes man doesn't love us and man doesn't do what is right. Sometimes in life we'll face problems, and those are problems that we created ourselves. Sometimes they will be problems that others create for us. Sometimes they will be problems that we have the capacity to address and make better ourselves. Sometimes they will be problems that we are powerless to address and are just caught up in. But because God is sovereign and because God is love, through all of life's uncertainties and trials, God is there for us to run to. God is there for us to be loved by. And God is there to help us cast out all our fears as we rest in the knowledge that the Sovereign One over all loves us and works all things according to the counsel of his will for our eternal good. Because God is love and God is sovereign, nothing is more certain than the eternal hope that you and I have in God. Nothing is more certain than the eternal love and friendship that we now have with God, as he has reconciled us through the blood of his own dear Son. Nothing is more certain than God's love, and nothing is more certain than his ability to work all things to our good. Will all things be enjoyable? No. But will God love us through it all and work out eternal beauties? Yes, he will, because he loves us and is sovereign. Let's pray. God, how blessed we are that you are God, and there is no God but you. Oh God, how wonderful it is that the God of the universe is love, that he is not a God of hate, that he is not a God who sits up there planning evil toward us. No, not at all. God, thank you for planning good toward us, your creatures. Though we have done nothing to deserve that good, though we can never do anything to pay you back, though we could never offer something to you that you need, yet you love us unconditionally. Lord, how we need to know always of that love. God, how blessed we are that you are sovereign, that the one who is love is also the one who is king over the universe, the one who wills good for us for eternity, the one who wants us to live forever in happiness with him, away from sin forever. That very same one is also king of the universe, and nothing and no one can stop your plans. God, how we need to know that too. We thank you, cherish you, love you, praise you. Help us, Lord, to think today and always on your love and sovereignty. In Jesus' name we pray.